financial security was so important to me, but I also wanted to know that I was waking up each morning and making a difference in the world in a way that mattered to me and my values. And I had to get out of my own way because I had a ton of imposter syndrome based on the fact, that I didn't have, decades and decades of experience as an athlete and as a coach.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Join us in this episode as we sit down with Chelsea Lindsay, a former corporate sales powerhouse who dared to break free from the golden handcuffs and embark on an entrepreneurial journey. Chelsea's strategic approach to her career shift with a meticulously crafted 30-60-90-day plan offers invaluable insights for those contemplating a similar transition. Discover how she transitioned from crushing quotas and winning awards to becoming a passionate strength and nutrition coach dedicated to empowering women with healthy habits. If you too have had corporate success, yet yearn for something of your own, then this episode is for you. Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on today. I have to say, I've been really looking forward to this conversation because I really like your approach to taking a more compassionate approach to health and wellness. So thanks so much for hopping on.
Yeah, good morning, Meg. Thanks so much for having me. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Of course. Now, you're not only the founder of Lifestyle with the Lindsays, but you also have your own private coaching business and you call yourself the Gym Big Sis. So for those people that maybe aren't familiar with you, can you just tell us a little bit more about who you are and really what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm based out of the Pacific Northwest and I didn't grow up with any athletic background whatsoever. Didn't play sports in school, just wasn't something that I identified with at all. And I found myself in a corporate sales role, fell into it at the age of 20. And one thing led to another. It turned out it was something that I had a natural knack for. And I ended up having a 10-year career in sales. During that time, I started to just find my way into fitness organically. I started with running. And the first thing I did was I ran a 10K when I was 21. And I was so out of shape that at the end of the race, my body basically shut down. I had to go to bed for the rest of the day. But that fire was sparked in me and like having that passion for like seeing what I was capable of and wanting to improve on something that I didn't have a natural knack for. And I kind of grew organically from there. When I was 25, I made my first dollar in fitness. I was a body pump instructor. And if anyone who's not familiar with body pump, that is a group fitness class where it is choreographed and you are mic'd up and it's an hour, you're in, you're out, you're sweating. It's so much fun. During that time, I would walk by a CrossFit gym every day on my way to teach body pump. And I would look through that window and be like, what are these insane people doing in there? And eventually I worked up the nerve to walk in and inquire about what they were doing. And one thing led to another, I became hooked on CrossFit. And during this time, this period of my 20s, like a lot of women, I was really, really focused on trying to be a smaller version of myself. I was always starting some new juice cleanse or diet, or really trying to find ways in which to shrink my body because I was pretty convinced that my self-worth was based on my size. So I had these two different veins going on. One of them was, how small can I be? And then I joined this fitness movement that was based on performance. And it absolutely blew my mind. And I started to make this shift. Instead of focusing on what my body looked like, I was focused on, oh my gosh, what is my body capable of? And that was such a mindset shift for me. I eventually ended up coaching CrossFit. And then all of this had such an impact on me. By the end of my sales career, I was still doing well, like still hitting President's Club, hitting quota, doing all these things. But I would get up in the morning. I would go to the gym at 6 a.m. I'd be there for hours before I started work. And then I would come back after work to do it again. And it took me several years to work up the confidence to finally be like, you know what? Hey, Chels, this is something that you actually care a lot about And it's where you spend all your time. Like, why don't you do it full time? And so I had been coaching on the side for years at this point. And in 2021, I finally worked up the courage to jump off the cliff and go into fitness full time. I was back home in Portland at this point, and I started coaching strength and powerlifting to women and doing nutrition coaching on the side. It's been, let's see, it's coming up, what are we at, about a year and a half now. And there's been several pivots, several different iterations of, you know, what we're doing already, but it's been a wild ride. But my mission is to help as many women as possible break free of that cycle of trying to constantly restrict and be smaller, and instead step into the powerful feeling of being strong and feeling like you're in the driver's seat of your health.
That story is amazing. I am so inspired, and we're only probably like 3 minutes into this since hitting record. So I'm absolutely blown away. And I think there's so much to unpack in here. I mean, first of all, I was a body pump goer myself at 24 Hour Fitness. So I loved the choreographed version of the weightlifting because it made it a little bit fun for me from someone that came from a dance background. It was just a natural fit, and it accomplished a lot in just an hour here. But I also come from a sales background as well.
Yeah, so, we have a lot in common.
Yes, we definitely do. And I think what was really interesting about your story is that you were always looking for ways to kind of improve yourself and really kind of test the boundaries and figure out where your alignment was going. You found a lot of success in sales. Obviously, you were hitting President's Club. And I mean, with President's Club typically comes really great money. I mean, you're hitting your goals, you're getting all the awards, you're going on, it depends on the company, but some fancy trips. And you decided that this passion of yours, something that you cared so much about with this passion for fitness and wellness in general, was bigger than the awards and the paycheck. And you decided to go all in on yourself. So how did you really work through that to be able to leave everything behind, to be able to move forward to something that was potentially even more fulfilling than what you were getting before?
Oh my gosh, that is the $1 million question. It is one that took me so, so long to make the decision and honestly get out of my own way. As you just said, like, sales is, I'm so grateful. Could not possibly, like, I wouldn't change a single thing about the way that my path went and how long I spent in sales, because it's opened doors for me that I didn't even know were possible, you know, coming from a background of financial insecurity. And I needed that foundation in order to have the opportunity to look at this next step. But I also, the flip side is, I had golden handcuffs. You know, I was like, I'm never going to be able to make this amount of money again. What does that look like in terms of security for my future? And I wrestled with that decision for so long. You know, the pandemic, I think, was a great time of reckoning for a lot of people, in which they had to decide what was important to them, right? And that was based on having everything we normally would do with our lives away from us and spending a lot of time, more time, with a lot more time on our hands, a lot more time to reflect, a lot more time in solitude. You know, I was single at the time, I was living alone. I had nothing but time on my hands to be like, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? What is my contribution? And that last one was really what it came down to. Financial security was so important to me, but I also wanted to know that I was waking up each morning and making a difference in the world in a way that mattered to me and my values. And I had to get out of my own way because I had a ton of imposter syndrome based on the fact, you know, that I didn't have decades and decades of experience as an athlete, as a coach. In the story that I was telling myself was that I would be starting over. And when you think about spending 10 years in a career and, you know, climbing the ladder, promotions, raises, all these different things, the idea of starting on a different ladder is so scary. But what it really came down to was, it had to have a mind shift and realize that it wasn't starting over. It was an evolution with everything that I had already learned in these past 10 years. The way that I framed it to myself was, if I can be this successful as I was in sales in something that I fell into, it was not an intentional decision at all, right? I was 20 years old when I started. What could I do with something that I actually cared about that made me want to jump out of the bed in the morning because I was so excited to get to do this and that I spent all my time like researching and trying to understand more. And so what it came down to was, if I don't try this, I will spend my whole life wondering what if, and I would rather go out there and fail fantastically and be able to say, You know what? I gave that my all. It didn't work out, but I sure as hell tried. Rather than what would have happened if I would have had the courage to chase something that I was interested in, and that fear of dying with a what if rather than an I tried, that was a bigger fear for me. And so that's finally what tipped the scales for me to be able to get out of my own way.
That what if question is what kept me up at night as well. It was like, I don't want to potentially be on my deathbed one day with that question. What if? What if I've done this? Mm-hmm. But what I like about your story is that your sales background really laid the foundation for you to become your own entrepreneur and have your own businesses. I personally believe that every woman should have some stint in sales, no matter what it is, because it teaches you so many lessons along the way. It teaches you literally how to run your own book of business. It teaches you how to constantly fill your pipeline. Rejection. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been told no in my life. And the list just goes on and on and on here. But I really think that having a sales background prepares you for a life of entrepreneurism. And clearly it has allowed you to have not only one, but two successful businesses today. So you had mentioned that you wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than yourself, where you felt like you were contributing to society in a way that was meaningful for you, where you were able to kind of spring out of bed every single day and be excited about what you're doing. So when you decided to make the switch from corporate and really get rid of those kind of quote unquote golden handcuffs like you were talking about, what did you do next? I know because you have your own private coaching as well as you have co-founded Lifestyle with the Lindsays with your sister.
Good question. Also, I love everything you just said about women should have a stint in sales. I know that you're a boss at sales. I've heard all about you on LinkedIn. I love to hear it. And I 100% agree, because I think that so many of us are conditioned to be like, if we get a no, it's really scary, right? And it feels like rejection. But when you get a ton of no's regularly and you are so determined to get a yes, the fear around the no goes away, right? And so I think that losing some of that fear of the no is a really great skill to have as an entrepreneur, because I'm sure that you have experienced this as well. When you are figuring something out for yourself, oh boy, there are so many no's and you have to learn things. For me, I've had to learn most things the hard way. And, you know, people will say, oh, they weren't mistakes. They were lessons. Yeah, they were both, right? I learned, but they were also mistakes. So I think that having that background was the perfect preparation. And you know what I did when I made the decision to jump was I made a 30-60-90 plan, just like I would for a good sales run. So I was like, okay, here's my date. And my date was based on my biggest deal in my pipeline for sales was going to close. I was going to close this deal. I was going to get this paycheck, and then I was going to do it. And I said, okay, what do I need? The first thing, of course, is having 6 months worth of savings. But for me, I had been toying around with this idea for years. So that was step number one. After that, it was, okay, 30, 60, 90. What is the bare minimum that I need in order to get up and running? And so for me, those were things like I needed just a small little website to point people to and be able to start collecting people's information. I needed a space to train out of. So what I did is I just moved home to Portland from San Francisco, and I went around to every gym in Portland area and asked to talk to the owners. I would say, hey, I'm Chelsea, just moving here, looking for someone who's willing to invest in me as both a coach and an athlete, because I knew that where I decided to build community, that was going to be spending a ton of time, and I needed to be really intentional about that. And I ended up walking into, it was not a CrossFit gym, it was a strength and powerlifting gym. I met the owner, his name is Patrick, and we just clicked. I sat him down and I told him exactly what I was looking to do. And I said, I just need a space to build my business because I don't own a gym at this point. And walked him through my 30, 60, 90, and he was on board. So at that point, I had a small website, I had a place to train, and I had two different ways to collect leads through the website and from Patrick, because, you know, I was giving him a cut of my business. So what ended up happening is my deal closed faster than I thought it was going to by a couple of months. And I started getting leads and people who wanted to train, and they wanted to start now. They didn't want to start in a couple of months. And so I finally had this moment, and maybe you can relate to some of this, where it wasn't like a logical, okay, here's the plan. It was like, I have to do this right now. I can't wait one more second. I'm doing it. And I call those rip the Band-Aid moments. And I called and I had the most wonderful boss at the time. And she had looked out for me and taken care of me. And I just said, I have to have a hard conversation with you. I know this is probably going to feel like it's out of nowhere. Let me know when you have bandwidth to be able to do this. And so it was like a Wednesday afternoon when I finally was like, you know what? I have the courage, and the courage is right now. And I can't wait any longer because there's this window and I might not feel brave tomorrow. So I have to do it now. And she gave me a call. We had a great conversation in which, you know, there was a lot of emotion, but a lot of understanding. And then I got on my couch for the rest of the day and was like, I call it being a walnut. I was a walnut. I was under the blankets. I was like, I'm so scared. I don't know what I just did. What am I doing? Can I do this? And gave myself the rest of the day to be a walnut. Woke up the next morning, went to the gym, started training my first client, and been doing it ever since.
What's so funny is that I think we're always so strategic about putting together these plans for our life. And what's funny is that sometimes our life has other different plans for us than what we originally set out to do ourselves. And clearly your life had a different timeline and it was telling you, this is it, Chelsea. I mean, you got your money, you closed this massive deal. It's time to do this. It's now or never. And I'm glad that you listened to that intuition because I think a lot of people don't. They think that they have to do things a certain way. And you clearly just was like, this is the time. I feel very powerful. I'm going to do it. And you ripped that bandit off. You had that tough conversation, but then you also gave yourself the time to process and feel, because obviously it was a really big thing that you did, but you didn't let it overcome you. You let it take over you for one day, which is totally fine. But then you got back up, you put on those big girl panties and you did the dang thing. Love that.
Megan, if I remember correctly, your story was kind of like, maybe not your timeline. It was like, hey, this thing is ending. So you're going whether you like it or not, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. When I started Self-Starter, the podcast in October of last year, and in January, I hired a business coach with the idea that I would be out of work in 6 months, that I would be able to leave corporate in 6 months. And then I found out I was pregnant. And I was like, you know what? Actually, let's delay this a little bit longer so I can collect the maternity leave. But you got to be very careful what you put into the universe, because sometimes it doesn't understand when you make that modification. So joke's on me. But I was part of a massive layoff in March of this year. And it was one of those things where I really felt like this was my time to go all in on my business. But I also was scared. I didn't have the 30, 60, 90 day plan quite yet, like you had put into place. Didn't have any clients. I had no idea how I was going to make money. So I actually started interviewing back again for the corporate world. And I went through probably 40 conversations in the matter of 2 weeks. I mean, I was back to back. It was absolutely insane. And every single call, it just was not in alignment. I did not want to be there. And finally, yeah, I just had a talk with my husband. I said, I can't do this. And here we are. So I see a lot of similarities in our stories with the corporate sales background and just the gumption to make this happen.
Well, what you just described to me, first off, in the moment, that probably felt very scary. I want to just acknowledge and honor that. But what you wanted when you had already started your business, when you had already hired the business coach, you wanted to be in the pool, right? You wanted to be in the pool. You wanted to be swimming around. You wanted to get into the pool from the side where you go down and you put one foot in at the time. And then you know how it slopes down into the deeper end. You wanted to get in that way and you wanted to acclimate. But then the universe just said, you're in the deep end, start swimming, figure it out, right? Yep. And you just you ended up cannonballing in. And the end result was the same. You got into the pool, but it just wasn't the way that you had anticipated it. And I'm guessing there will be some point, you know, in the future, maybe you're already there, where you look back and you say, that's exactly the way that it should have happened because it forced me to figure it out.
That's what I tell myself every single day. You know, I think that if I had continued to just go back to corporate, I never may have made this jump. And if you hadn't ripped that bandit off and just had the conversation with your manager when you did, you may have found an excuse not to leave. So I'm so proud of us for just doing it. And I hope that the people listening too understand that there's no right or wrong way to go about your business, but to be able to really listen to that inner voice. And like you said earlier, to be able to find something that where you're able to get out of bed every single day, knowing that you're really making a contribution and really doing something that's aligned with your values. And I think that is what lights me up inside. And as I'm still figuring out my business, keeps me going.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So going back to your business, I know that you found this gym, you were working with Patrick, you made this deal, you had clients coming to you before you even thought you were ready, but you decided to go all in. So tell us a little bit more about how you continued to build that business. And then at what point when you introduced the second facet of what you're doing?
Yeah. Okay. So anyone who has started their own thing knows that the first version is probably not going to be the final version, right? And so I spent the first year, I coached women's strength and powerlifting. So I would do it in semi-private sessions. And what I mean is I would have six women at a time and we'd be doing barbell training and they'd be getting strong, whether it was because they just wanted to look better, they wanted to fit into their clothes, they wanted more energy, or because they wanted to competitively powerlift, whichever one it may be. That life, it was so satisfying, but it was also difficult. It was waking up at 5 a.m. It was being on my feet all day. And I'm an extroverted person. I love being around humans. When you are around, but let me tell you, when you are around 30 plus people every single day and you are intimately involved with these people, you know all the ins and outs of their lives, you know their emotional state, and you are their support system, it is very, very fulfilling, but it's also very exhausting. And I realized about 8 months into the year that this was not a lifestyle that was sustainable for me because of the fact that I value freedom above almost everything else. And I was unable to make my own schedule. I was unable to travel when I wanted to. And quite frankly, I wasn't able to touch as many women as I would like to because of the fact that I only had so much bandwidth. And let me tell you, having made the leap to be like, I am going to go all in after years of toying around with that idea, and then to feel like 6-8 months later, like, oh my gosh, this isn't quite right either, is so disorienting because it's like, well, I just made this big transition. You're telling me I need to transition again? But I think that's like, it doesn't ever get less scary for me making big decisions. I just get better at making the decision faster instead of fighting it when I know that something needs to be changed. And so at that point, I decided that I was going to take my business virtually and I was going to focus more on the nutrition side. And I wanted to do it with my sister. So my little sister is also, she's had her own journey, which is a totally different story from mine, but she's ended up in the same place, which is fitness, and has been become a big passion for her. And she's also a strength and nutrition coach. So we're best friends. We have a great relationship and we have this big common interest. So at that point, we founded Lifestyle with the Lingies, which was then the second company that I now own. And we built a virtual nutrition course. The idea was to bring nutrition coaching to the general public in a bigger way because a lot of nutrition coaching can become cost prohibitive. And so if we're able to bring down the price point, we can help more people and do it in a group coaching manner. And as fitness has been such a big part of my journey, but honestly, fitness was not the hardest part for me to figure out personally. Nutrition was the hard part for me to figure out personally because of the fact that, you know, you and I are about the same age. We grew up in a world that, do you remember when heroin chic was like, that was like the trendy body style. So we grew up in a world in which it was always very ingrained in us that like a smaller body is a better body. And we aren't taught how to eat in school. So we basically just adopt the nutrition habits that our parents give us. And then we're sent on our way to try to figure it out. So for me, like I was just always trying to eat less. Like I was just like, you know, I'm not entirely happy with the way my body looks. I don't like being in pictures. I don't feel confident in a swimsuit. And so I just need to eat less. And you can't just eat less forever. That's not how it works. What ended up happening was I developed some pretty disordered eating habits. And this was all, you know, throughout my 20s before I was really big into fitness. I ended up with some pretty disordered eating habits and I would start going through big binge and restrict cycles. And anyone who has ever struggled with food knows what that is. That is a miserable, miserable, miserable way to live. I couldn't go to certain social situations because I felt out of control around food. My thoughts were consumed by what I could eat, what I couldn't eat. I couldn't allow any sort of what I deemed to be bad foods into my house because of the fact that I couldn't control myself around them because I never allowed myself to have any. And so if I did, then I would just spin out of control. So this was right around the time I started doing body comp. That was when I hired my first nutrition coach. And working with her, I learned that everything that I thought I knew about nutrition was incorrect, basically. And I totally revamped the way that I ate. And it was all built on like building habits around nutrition as opposed to going on a specific diet, which was what I was always trying to do before. And so I learned how to fuel my body correctly, started eating a ton more protein than I normally would, started eating mostly single ingredient foods and allowing myself some treats every day if I wanted. And lo and behold, the combination of strength training plus actually fueling my body cleared up all of the disordered eating patterns. And I started to feel awesome in my body, not just energized throughout the day. I used to crash, you know, after lunch regularly, but I fit into the clothes that I wanted to fit into. And I just didn't think about it anymore. And I realized like, oh my gosh, my sister had a somewhat similar journey. She was actually a bodybuilder. So her journey with food was worse than mine was. Not that it's a comparison, but she was also struggling with it. And we both found our way to flexible dieting, which is a way of eating in which you just eat basically 80-20. You eat high protein, you eat a lot of fiber, you still have room for cake or cookies or whatever your thing is, because it's not off limits. And once you take the power away from the cake or the cookies, you know, they don't hold any control over you anymore. So we're talking about it and we were like, oh my gosh, like if this was both of our shared experiences separately, that means that there are tons more women who are dealing with this. And we're like, what if we were able to focus on like all of our skills and capabilities and talents, and we're able to give those 100% because of the fact that we were able to free up that brain space that had previously been consumed with trying to be smaller. What can I eat? Can I have the cookie? Can't be in the picture, whatever it is. Like, how many more contributions could we make to the world? And so we teamed up to teach this to other women. And so we started that business last year. So now I've been running both businesses virtually for however long? It's going to be a year here soon, I think. Where I still have my one-on-one coaching clients where we're working on strength and nutrition together. But we also have this group model where we're helping women build nutrition habits that will last them a lifetime so that they can eat the cookie, so that they can wear the bathing suit at the beach, and so that they can break free of the old outdated mindset that smaller is better and that everything you want is on the other side of eating less.
Gosh, so good. I definitely want to dive into a few of these different topics here. But the first thing you have to just say is that you clearly are lighting up when you're talking about this. So I have to ask you, do you wake up every day now and just completely like jump out of bed, totally excited about what you're doing for the day versus what you were doing when you were in the corporate grind?
Absolutely. And that does not mean that every day is easy, because it's not. It's just a new problem set. But when I wake up now, the first thing I think in my head is today's going to be a great day. And I used to wake up and go, oh boy.
Here we go again.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So even though, you know, this path that I'm on comes with its own problems, I choose these problems, and they're problems that I'm happy to have because I know exactly how I'm helping. That's what lights me up.
That's the key. It's really believing that what you're doing is making a difference. And throughout your story, you shared a couple of really great points here. The first one is that you created something that you realized that you were struggling with. And a lot of the entrepreneurial women that I talk to have birthed something because of something that they needed. And then they realized, you know what, if I need this and I'm seeing similarities between the other people in my life, like your sister, that are going through similar things, then why not create something so we can actually help other people going through this? So that way they have easy access to be able to transform their life like I did. And the other thing that you said is that when you first started your private coaching business, you got to a point where a few months in, 6 months in, you weren't in control of your time anymore. I mean, heck, you couldn't even take a vacation. So what I really like about what you did is you said that you weren't afraid to make more decisions quickly. And the decision that you made is to be able to no longer completely exchange your time for money. And mm-hmm. So what you did is you took all of that knowledge that you accumulated with your business, and you coupled that with the knowledge that your sister brought to the table too, and the two of you created something really beautiful together to be able to help more women than you could if you were working just on the one-on-one capacity here.
Yeah.
So really smart business move there. And I know you said you're an extrovert, you like being around people. So you're still getting that people fix. So you're checking off all the boxes on really what you value at the end of the day. So I think that's really important for entrepreneurs to think about is like, okay, break down, what is it that I enjoy doing? What is it that I do not want to do? What do I want my life to look like? And how do I really want to make an impact, to get really clear on all of that? And you clearly did. And it's pivoted along the way, rightfully so.
Yeah, I expect that it will continue to pivot. I mean, all we can do is say, this is my best plan with the information that I have currently. I'm going to go test it and get more data points. Based on the data points, then I'll tweak the plan. If it's great, I'll run with it. But if I need to change, then I'll change. And that's all we can do. And I think sometimes, I don't know if you fell into this trap as well, but before I made the leap, I was so worried about making the perfect plan that I couldn't take any action at all. And at this point, I'm like, make the wrong decision. Just keep moving forward. It doesn't matter, but you cannot just stay stagnant because you are scared of quote unquote failures, because you're scared of making a move that might not be the perfect move. Even in the years leading into making the decision to go after this full time, I was doing business coaching, I was getting more certifications, all under the guise of being more prepared. But really what they were like fancy ways to procrastinate, because I was scared of just actually doing it. Now at this point, I would way rather just keep moving forward, even if it's something that I have to go back and be like, hey, that wasn't it. Gonna try again.
Oh, I feel you so much there. This whole self-starter journey started because I wanted to create a place where women were empowered to just take the first step in their journey, because like you, I was overwhelmed by the big picture, thinking I had to have everything figured out, thinking it had to be perfect. But the reality is, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be all figured out, but you have to just take that first step and not be afraid of failure. And I think failure to me would be like what we were talking about earlier, looking back and saying, what if?
Yeah. Yeah. Failure is letting the fear make the decisions. And the fear of making the decisions means that you make the safe choice, as opposed to doing the bold thing that moves you into like the bigger version of yourself. And the reality,
honestly, today, I don't even know what the safe choice is these days. I mean, is a safe choice to go into corporate? Is a safe choice to take a bet on yourself? I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I will tell you, I'd rather bet on myself any day than put my fate into someone else's hands at this point.
You and me both.
Yes. Well, I would love to dive into this 2-hour training, the on-demand video course that you do have with your sister, just to be able to allow women to understand, if they were to go ahead and look into this program and potentially purchase it, what could they really expect from this 2-hour training?
Great question. So I train everyone who comes to me. I train them like they're an athlete. The people that I work with, when they first get to me, most of them are not people that would define themselves or identify as being athletes. I have worked with all shapes, all sizes, you know, every single different flavor of human. But I decided early on that my own definition of an athlete is not dependent on how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how much weight you can lift. An athlete to me is someone who is invested in their own self-improvement and who loves the sport of pushing themselves and watching themselves grow and get better. And by that definition, absolutely anyone can be an athlete. And I see these women, most of them have careers, and they are already corporate athletes, right? They show up, they're doing a kick-ass job at work, and they're top performers. And so they just need to learn how to apply that same mindset to their health and fitness. And so the trap that I see so many women fall into is they want to get their health under control. And so what they do is they're heading down a path. They've been eating and exercising or not exercising the same way for years, whatever that may look like for them. And suddenly they crank the wheel and they take a left turn and they're like, all right, it's New Year's Day. Now I only have green juices for breakfast. salads for lunch. I go to the gym every single day after work, and I never have a glass of wine or a cookie again, right? And then they just white knuckle this until they just fall off in this drastic way. And every single time that they do this, they reinforce this idea that, like, oh, I'll never be able to make this work. Why is it so easy for all these other people that I see around me, that I see online? It doesn't work for me. And that happens so regularly that we just think it's normal in terms of, like, it's so common. It's like almost a joke, like, oh, I messed up. I'll start again on Monday. I messed up. I'll start again after the new year. And it's just like, well, the last time that you made a mistake at work, did you quit and go home and say, I'll start again on Monday? Last time you made a mistake at work, did you say, I'll start again next quarter? Or did you say, dang it, well, made that mistake, gonna keep going forward right now. The first thing we wanna teach them is how to break that, like, all or nothing mindset, because that is really the limiting factor. No one is confused about whether donuts or carrots are a better or healthier snack, right? What it comes down to is learning how to create a better mindset for yourself so that you are building self-trust, so that you are building confidence, so that you are able to break that all or nothing mindset. And that comes down to building habits that are smaller 2% improvements day over day. So instead of doing a left turn where it's like, oh, now we only do green juices, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to start adding more protein to our meals. As a general rule of thumb, most women are not eating enough protein. And that's an easy way to make a big impact in your energy levels and to start to see body composition changes. Okay, we're going to work on that. Then we're going to introduce some strength training. In strength training, it does not have to be an hour of sweating, dying on the floor. In fact, it shouldn't be, in order to be effective. So we're going to want to start to build some muscle. And it's this layering of daily habits that makes this whole thing sustainable. So you start to habit stack day over day, and you start to take this identity from, I'm someone who has never been able to make health and fitness work for me, to, I'm an athlete. And do you know what athletes do? They take care of themselves. They train regularly. They make good choices around nutrition. They recover well. They manage their stress. They have a good sleep schedule. They invest in their relationships, and they surround themselves with people who uplift them to be the healthiest and best versions of themselves. And they work on what's going on in their head. So everything that it comes down to is, you can start to eat well and exercise, but the pivotal piece of making it all work is building an identity as someone who is healthy, someone who takes care of their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And that can't be done in a 30-day challenge. That can't be done with 75 hard, whatever it may be. That change can take a year or two, because what it is, it's like getting reps in at the gym. You have to get reps in over and over that show you that you are someone who does take care of themselves and who is capable of showing up and building that muscle of not quitting. And so the course really puts together all of our, the way that we would train an athlete in the gym, and puts it into a digestible format for women to start to use as a guideline to take control of their own health and put themselves in the driver's seat so that they can get off of that roller coaster of starting and stopping.
I love this so much, because I think a lot of people want just the quick fix, or they think that the quick fix is a solution to everything, but it's never the solution. It might be a temporary solution, but I don't even want to use the word solution, because it never ends up lasting. So what you're talking about is really building these small incremental habits day after day, and it might take a couple years, but I think this is a great analogy, not only for health and nutrition, but for all areas of your life. So for those entrepreneurs that are even listening to this today, just creating small habits that you can implement into your own business, it really applies there as well. So I do want to make sure that we're able to send people to learn a little bit more about this course. So where could they go ahead and find out some more information if they want to dive in a little bit further here?
Yeah, you can find us at www.lifestylethelinges.com, or I am posting regularly on LinkedIn at this point, and you can just find me under my name there, at Chelsea Lingy.
Wonderful. And I always like to ask this question. I know you shared some amazing advice already, but if you could really think about just one piece of key advice that you would give to someone just starting out in their entrepreneurial journey, what would you tell them?
The advice that I needed when I first was getting started is just take the first step. You just have to take action. It doesn't have to be the biggest step. It doesn't have to be the best step. It just needs to be the next step. So that next step, you could break that down and make it as small as you needed to, but you need to take action in order to move forward. So have a plan, take action.
And again, it applies to your health and wellness as well. So just take that first step today to be able to move towards the dream life that you really want to live. So Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to share your inspiring story. You are truly an athlete, both in the corporate world as an entrepreneur and physically pushing yourself day after day to be a better human and to really make such an impact on others. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Megan. You're just the best. And I appreciate our conversation so much.
Many people think that if they leave corporate, that they would have to be starting completely over, and that's just not the case. The skills you learn throughout your corporate journey will be applied in everything you do. Take Chelsea, for example. She made a 30, 60, 90-day plan, just like she would do at her corporate job, to help her transition into entrepreneurship. This process helped make the transition more clear and a bit less intimidating. But she also didn't get caught up in having the perfect plan because she knew that her plan and business would continue to evolve. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready to make your plan? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.